Greetings and Merry Christmas, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Horror Live. I am Daniel Shine, joined by the Predator himself, Todd Loya.
Dan says, fuck all the rest of those holidays.
those two. Pugs Dread.
Namaste, sorry.
That's okay. Mike Crew.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
So, yeah, we got, we're talking Christmas horror, and just as a special bonus, we even got some, furry action, but yeah, we got some theatrical.
Close enough.
Same thing.
See, you guys are selling it to me. I need to get my fat ass out there and go see this thing.
Me too.
Well, I have a story connected to the movie, that should be in funny later. Not funny. I shouldn't say funny. I'm not trying to be an asshole, but
it's really funny.
It has to do. I'm sure it's Dan's old FetLife encounters.
No, it was sort of. Who's that?
Okay, save it then. Save it then.
Anyways, we'll leave it as a teaser. Disgusting. A lot of stuff to talk tonight, but before we get into our movie reviews. Just to let you guys know, on patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures, the first Slashmas episodes are now up. So for just $1, you support us, you get some early content there. We're going to be dropping Slashmas soon throughout the month of December. So it should be a good tournament. We've got some movies this year that are not talked about very often. And I'm curious to see where we end up.
And episode 3 of Slashmas is going to drop on Patreon when we're done here.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah, and I guess we can go ahead and announce real quick. We're going to be doing a Christmas cruelty commentary / watch along with the director. And it's going to be exclusively on Patreon. So you can just watch along with this while we talk about it. And yeah, it's probably going to stay at Patreon.
Shout out to Pitt.
So you'll get some uncensored content there for sure. And before we get into this, I don't know why. They're like the company everybody forgets about. But I did place an order with Massacre Video.
That's because they forget about you ordering shit.
Well, I've heard they can take their sweet time, so I'm sure I'll be waiting a while. But they do have a couple Blu-rays out. Again, they're not new, but nobody talks about it. The Toxic Zombies, which is, I don't remember ever being a great movie, but I know there was a lot of issues with it, so I think it'll be one of those ones like on Blu-ray. It'll be like you're seeing it for the first time. So I'm kind of curious to revisit it.
I don't get yourself too excited because we kind of got a Curse of the Screaming Dead situation with that one, where it's not going to be that much brighter. It's going to be brighter, but it's still, filmmaking limitations of the low budget era of then.
It wasn't the first. Well, I only grabbed, the only one that I grabbed right away was Ma Hakal, which if you don't recognize that name, it's Indian Nightmare on Elm Street. So I saw that and I was like, oh my God, that's on Blu-ray. I have to own this. I can retire my Mondo DVD. So I have that coming and I'm actually pretty damn excited. If you're a Nightmare on Elm Street fan, you got to see it. Needless to say, it's significantly different from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I've been a little too afraid to, but Ben Grimm told me that it's not too bad if you just like scroll through your phone during the Bollywood dance scene. So
we'll definitely
get yourself a big plate of food with everything on it, share it with the family, watch the movie.
See, I thought you were gonna go a little different.
Yeah.
No, that's after.
Oh, and speak of the devil, Ben in the chat. Hi Ben, and hello Brian. Merry fucking Christmas indeed, Brian.
Ben Grimm asked how to watch Christmas Cruelty, third party sellers, and you can just hit up. You can hit the guys up.
I'm still waiting to get permission, but I think if I'm thinking we can actually literally watch along with it on Patreon exclusively, but I still gotta confirm that,
Yeah, so.
there you go, guys. That's something to look forward to on the Patreon. So yeah, I don't know. I saw those. I wanted to throw it out there because I shared in a couple groups, and they were like, "Oh, that's on Blu-ray." Like nobody thinks about Massacre Video, which you know, they put out some rare stuff. I was amazed how good their Hack-O-Lantern Blu-ray a few years back was, and I was like, for Hack-O-Lantern, I mean, my God. So
I think most people kind of wait for those to go traditional retail, which they will eventually, but I don't think Toxic Zombies has yet, which that one's been out damn near a year now.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's an 80s horror movie, so you know, it's the kind of thing, zombie movie, not a lot of people have actually watched. I would think there would be a little more coverage on it, but
actually, you know what? It came out in April, so I was a little less.
Okay. Well, still, you know, a while. Yeah. I'm surprised nobody's talking about it.
I mean, they have Nightmare, and we haven't seen that. I still need to pick up their Final Stab, but I'm looking at their catalog. They don't have a lot, so maybe.
So I didn't buy Final Stab yet either. I remember like in the wave of David Dakota's Dudes in Their Underpants movies that was actually a halfway decent.
I remember liking that one too.
Yeah, it didn't feel as rushed and as cheap as some of his other stuff.
Here's a funny side story. When I used to get tapes from the bootleg guy, I bought a tape called Scream 4 at the time, which I knew wasn't Scream 4, but it was Final Stab. They like literally like paused it and had like, you know, the old video text you could do an old like just like generic text, and it was just there on like, I don't know, like camcorders and stuff like that. But that's all it was. It's just like generic text. I was like, wow, they just went the extra mile for this.
Yeah, I'll have to pick that up because, shit, that could be going out of print soon. That one I know has been out forever. I don't know why I haven't grabbed it.
That one, I believe that one is traditional retail, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's been out a while. It's just one of those ones I've meant to grab, and for some reason I just haven't. But
yeah, on my list too somewhere.
Yeah, I've got to catch up on some stuff now. There's just so much that dropped. I do know that Vinegar Syndrome is shipping out. Our friend Lauren Dixon got his stuff. He says Creature looks fantastic, by the way. So I'm curious to pop that in. So all right, guys, well, without further ado, we'll get into our reviews for the evening, and our first one is Advent Calendar, Shudder original French horror film from writer director Patrick Reidermont. And in this one, Eve is a paraplegic. On her birthday, her friend Sophie gives her a strange advent calendar. It's not the traditional treats you find when you open each drawer, but quirky gifts that are scary and get bloodier and nastier. To say the least. So I'm always delighted when we get a new French horror film because they don't come that often. Kruger, what did you think of Advent Calendar?
So I liked their main character and, you know, her backstory and her, you know, with her being paralyzed and in a wheelchair, you know, you really feel for her, especially, you know, right away when you, she gets, you know, caught up with her sleazeball friends and some fucked up shit happens to her. You're like, holy shit. Like, this girl's really getting the tough end of the stick. I love the concept of the possessed advent calendar, and I did like the entity that came with it. I thought he looked pretty cool with, you know, his kind of cane looking mask.
Yeah.
That shit was badass. The kills in this movie though did kind of leave me wanting more. There was one really solid kill we got towards like the second half, but some stuff, I don't know, maybe it's just because, you know, it's a French horror. I'm expecting more blood and guts, but I thought some of the kills left something to be desired there. And the movie also felt a little long. Like, I felt it drag, especially in that third act. I think there was maybe some, like, about 15 minutes of trimming of the fat you could have did with this. But overall, I did have a good time with it. I would watch it again, but it's not something I'm in love with. But it's definitely worth a one-time watch, and I could see, you know, watching it maybe in a few years around Christmas time.
Okay. How about you, Pugs?
I had a really good time with this one. I think it's for, like, it's not up there exactly like it, but if you want, like, a Christmassy absentia, this kind of has those vibes for me.
I got you.
Yeah, the demon thing, whatever the fuck that was, his face ruled, and his first appearance. That was, if you're a Marilyn Manson fan and you love Hollywood, it'll ring some bells. Yeah, but I liked everybody in the movie. I was shocked to see certain people go. I was like, no shit, I thought that was going to be a bigger deal. But overall, damn good time, especially it's on Shudder. By all means, press play, turn the subtitles on, and have a good time with it. I highly recommend it. What about you, Dan?
I actually love this quite a bit. I think Americans, when they think advent calendars, they think just the cheap little chocolate things that you buy at the dollar store.
I think of Bad Santa. They can't all be winners.
And this was actually, like, really cool. I have actually, there's this German market I used to go to that had, like, really cool, like, wood advent calendars. This one actually kind of makes me want to buy one because I just think they're so cool looking. But first off, Eugenie Durand, who played Ava, I thought she was amazing. This film actually has a lot of humor, too, which I wasn't necessarily expecting, like the dude going up, "I can wash your privates." I thought that was... There is a little bit of humor in there. This isn't like a relentlessly grim French film, like the French extreme horror film wave of the 2006, 2007. it's a different kind of movie. It's weird. I kind of find anytime we get a French horror movie, it's always going to be compared to like Inside or Martyrs. I'm like, well, they're not all, you know.
They can't all be winners.
but I do think this one was a winner. I liked it quite a bit. And it is kind of amazing that somebody hasn't tackled this kind of gimmick before.
Yeah,
or maybe they have. Maybe they have. But if it is, it's pretty obscure because I haven't seen it. I thought that the entity did look really cool. I just really was into our lead actress. I felt terrible for her when certain people, including Mr. Fingerbanger, gets his comeuppance. Very slight spoiler alert. I was very engaged.
He was just trying to show her a good time.
That was like, I was like, oh shit, like that was rough. I don't think we would see that in an American movie, especially when he like just tosses her out of the car. Like,
I laughed my ass off. I'm like, this guy's a dick, but I like where he stands.
And you're a dick for laughing at it, Pugs. You're part of the problem.
I think Pugs isn't probably the only dick on the show. Then
look, his car, his rules. He helped her out. That's all I'm saying.
It was, yeah, very darkly, especially considering what happens later. But kind of similar in a way, plot line from other films, you know, Wishmaster, of course, kind of plays out in a lot of ways like you would expect. But I don't know, I think the newer lore with the advent calendar that we haven't seen before helped it along. Is it a classic film? No, but it definitely felt like I was watching something different, which is so important to me nowadays, because there's just been so many cookie cutter films like this, well, like with this concept recently, that I very much appreciated it. I could see some people, without discussing the ending, maybe wanting more from it.
Me too.
Yeah, I could see that. I was kind of okay with it, but I also understand where people are coming from. Todd, how about you? Advent calendar. You already acknowledged that you're an asshole and you laughed during scenes that you should not laugh at.
I'm not going to argue whether you should or shouldn't. Humor is objective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also in the I really like this camp. I didn't have a problem with the ending, but I did want more. So I kind, you know, I get what you guys are going with.
That's Ryland, because I don't have a problem with it. It ends fine, but like it could have been so much fucking more.
Yeah.
Hmm. Up to your interpretation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, the lack of Christmas really hurt this one. Yeah, that's the only complaint. I mean,
it is a different country, though, too.
But I actually had to Google. I'm like, does an advent calendar have to do with Christmas? Like, is there just like a different advent calendar where you count down days? That's how much I was like, there's not a lot of Christmas. Like, mm-hmm. is this just June and it's counting down to, you know, July? I don't even know. So I did have to look that up because I was like, do they have just advent calendars for, I don't know, time to eat the schnitzel, some shit. You know, that's German run country.
Well, no, it was a German advent calendar, so you are right.
That's okay. There we go. So
that's why
some of my brain cells still exist. But yeah, I mean, and that's just a minor. Like, I don't feel like the need to like, okay, this is what I got to throw in for Christmas, because it's like the polar opposite of a Black Xmas that oozes Christmas everywhere. Yeah. This is just like Christmas the Void. Mm-hmm. So that's like my only real complaint, because I could watch this in like July and not even.
Oh yeah,
you could
watch this anytime. This isn't like a must have on Christmas. But if you do the advent calendar thing, like that's kind of a tradition my family does. So like that's cool. That's kind of where the rewatch value is going to be for me.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I would revisit this one too every once in a while. It doesn't evoke that Christmas feeling, but that might be a good thing for some people, because I do know some out there that just can't do with Christmas horror movies. Yeah. They just
I can't remember who put the survey out, but they're saying that Christmas horror is more popular, the most popular genre of like season of holiday themed horror, like over Halloween.
Really?
Yeah. Which I get, because I look forward to getting into the Christmas horror.
To be honest, I'll find myself watching more stuff to, you know, be in the Christmas spirit than the Halloween spirit. I kind of get that. Yeah. I have like a full on list.
I'll keep watching them into January. So.
I know some people need it too. Like if you're not fortunate enough to have good Christmas memories, it's like,
no, yeah,
that's need their memories. Shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although at the same time, like if you do tallies, there's certainly more great horror films set at Halloween than there is at Christmas.
That's not what they were talking about. No. But I do want to say, you got to look back in great Christmas past when your dad accidentally pitched up that or stopped for that Santa Claus out of gas. So you got to be careful.
Okay. A friend, Todd, did the same thing, by the way, this year you did with Santa's Sleigh, where you didn't watch it for years because you hated Goldberg, and I think now it's going to be a regular part of her
rotation. I've seen quite a few other people that have the same issue.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm like, look, forget Goldberg for a minute. That movie is just fun. That's a yearly watch.
And Dan finally broke me down and I watched it and I was like, okay.
It was a part of our last year's Slashmas.
It was.
That got a review.
Yeah, and if you go way back into the archives, the ones Dan doesn't want me to bring up, I think there's a commentary with me and Dan watching it.
Oh boy.
You have to you guys have to see it. I'm still waiting on Santa's Sleigh 2 with Ryback. They need to need to sign him long enough for it to happen.
Advent calendar.
Yeah.
Advent calendar. Yeah.
What about Slade versus Jack Frost, though? That'd be fucking real. All right.
You're booking cooler shit. Yeah.
Well, I do think this is cool shit.
Yeah, this is cool too.
I like this one a lot. But Krueger. And the toenail. That is like the most simple effect, like a toenail rip, but it still gets me every time. So shout out for that. Yeah, Krueger.
I'm a 3.5 out of 5.
Cool. Bugs?
I am a strong 4 out of 5 with a highly recommend, because I do know certain people that this will be their jam. So 4 out of 5. Todd?
I'm with Pugs on this also, 4 out of 5.
I'm a 4 out of 5 as well. I really like this one a lot, and I think it's worth your time.
Ben Grimm just said there are more Christmas horror movies than Halloween horror movies.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
I'm actually going to defend Benson because there's movies you may watch for Halloween, but that aren't necessarily set on Halloween.
Ben Grimm also has a list of 300 Christmas horror movies on his Letterboxd, so please check that out.
There's got to be 3,000.
Yeah, but he's got a list of 300 that are worth them, I guess.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying, but it kind of makes sense. Name all the horror films set on Halloween.
There's so many indie ones.
Brian Trash. Brian Trash just said Gilberg for Santa Sally. I'm all fucking for that.
Maybe he's been like defeated. Like we have Gilberg play him at the beginning before he gets like his powers back, and
like Kevin Nash and the Super Shredder. Yeah, I mean,
yeah. Like the beginning, he goes into like a strip club and just gets his ass kicked. It would be hilarious. I like that. Gilberg at the beginning. Give him like five minutes.
Give him the first two acts and let the big battle be.
You gotta build.
All right.
Yeah.
Warlock to the Armageddons. We all remember that great gore scene there. I want Goldberg popping out at Gilberg. Just like a full on, like just.
Oh, he needs the smoke too.
Practical effects.
Oh yeah, practical.
Get Steve Kostanski to do it. He did that shit with Leprechaun.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that would be awesome. I will also, before we move on, Sam at Regent Free said she thinks Scott Steiner for Santa's sleigh too.
Oh my god.
And
have you ever seen Scott Steiner's workout videos where he's just like lifting like bitches up and shit? It's hilarious. And he's like just working out like a maniac, lifting up tires and shit. He's like, gotta block out the pain, make your body grow. And fucking he's like bench pressing women. It's the most funny fucking thing ever. We have to watch that.
I'm gonna call an audible on this, Dan. I think no. He has to be Jack Frost. I just want his voice. For there you go. Now we can have Jack Frost first.
Like you get like, how are you going to put abs on a snowman? Can you imagine directing Scott Steiner? It's like, Scott, you flubbed your line. No, I didn't. You stupid son of a bitch. Next scene.
All right.
Well, please stop kissing your bicep. It's not in the script. Anyways, all right.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's got to happen now. All right. Moving on to our next film, which is Silent Night 2021. There's a lot of Silent Nights out there, so don't get confused. This is the one from writer director Camille Griffin. And, in this film, Nell, Simon, and their son Art are ready to welcome friends and family for what promises to be a perfect Christmas gathering. Perfect except for one thing. Everyone's going to die as the world is coming to an end. All right. So I was pretty excited to check this one out. So this is interesting because this was one of those films that got shut down during COVID, but they had shot most of it. And I know there's a lot of people right now
before the whole pandemic, or when it started to come back a little bit and then shut down.
I believe like early on, and then they finished it. I don't know exactly, but it was basically done before COVID really became a big thing. So everybody thinks. Well, yeah, because you watch this and everybody's thinking that this movie is about the pandemic, but it was actually about Brexit. That's the subtext, is Brexit. But I do think that the situation did make this movie more interesting, because you could see how, you know, the whole, like, do I, you know, trust the government kind of thing here? Like, oh, well, this has to be about that. But no, not really. It's a Brexit
thing. We know little JoJo trusted his government.
Yeah, that kid's a good actor. I'm curious if he will make the transition as an adult and become a star or not.
A Haley Joel Osment.
That's Haley Joel. I'm telling you, that was like just some, he killed that kid and like took his place at some point. That's not the same person. But anyways, so this one kind of like a quirky dark comedy feel for a good portion of it. And then it does, you know, bring on the drama towards the end. It reminded me of a film that I liked a lot that I ironically watched during the pandemic for the first time, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World with Steve Carell. I thought that was a really good movie. it's one of those ones I'm like, yeah, I can see. Steve Carell's actually a fantastic actor. He's not just the comedy guy. I like that a little bit better than this. I didn't find myself like terribly drawn to these characters, and I love end of the world type stuff. You know, things like Last Night, which is one of the rare David Cronenberg acting roles. I like Melancholia. I like different takes on how would people be if they just knew the end was coming. Like, absolutely. This one, I don't know. I don't feel like it did anything terribly interesting for me. I hated the ending. I thought it was completely unnecessary, again, without discussing what actually happens, but I was just like, that doesn't fit this. I thought it was dumb, honestly, for the story that we were told up to that point. Don't go in expecting a horror movie. This one's not, in my opinion, a horror movie.
Drama first.
Yeah, sure. It's a drama, and there's a couple glimpses at some horrific things, I guess, but it also doesn't give you a whole lot of backstory on the situation right away. You kind of...
Yeah, you're confused as fuck. Like, yeah. I was so confused at first. I'm like,
really?
Am I just a dumbass? Yeah, maybe I'm just a dumbass. Well, but
I thought some of them were a little bit too composed, considering. Yeah. Now, of course, maybe they've made peace with it. I can't remember exactly how long that they knew this was coming. But... Yeah, I don't know. There's moments where I was really enjoying it. I just don't think it all comes together properly. And I don't think Keira Knightley's that fantastic. I've never loved her. I don't know about you guys, but whoever wants to tag in.
She was good in the Hole.
She had a great, yes. Or she was good in the Hole. Never mind.
Don't get locked up, dude. Careful with that.
Whoever wants to tag in, go for it.
I'll go. I actually have... quite the opposite of you, Dan. I like this one a lot. I liked all the characters. I'm with you with the ending, though. It's unnecessary, but it was fine. Kind of like the last one. It's like, you could have made a better choice or one I would have enjoyed more, but it's fine. But yeah, I liked that extended family dynamic they had. I liked every character, even the non-likable ones, especially that little girl. She's got on my nerves, but it's the end of the world. What are we going to do? I just that feeling, or watching that, like, Stoker, watching him like break down at a certain point, I'm like, that's hard. That's a tough decision. And I think they tackled this subject pretty damn well and pretty damn cool. I am with you, though. I think people would be panicking a little more. However, they don't live in America, right? They were somewhere like overseas. So they're way more composed than we are, I'm assuming.
Wait, so, they didn't all go out and buy every bit of toilet paper in other countries.
So that was the only unrealistic thing there. There was no mounds of fucking TP.
Get the shite paper.
No, but I really did like this a lot, and I would revisit this again. It is definitely way more drama than it is a horror story. But, you know, the end of the world, that's a horror story in itself, so... I did think it had enough Christmas to be a Christmas movie, though, so that also is a plus.
Yeah, Christmas Eve. This one certainly had the feeling of Christmas, but I don't know. I don't hate this movie. It just didn't quite. I don't know. Maybe it went too serious later on in the film,
I think that's perfect because we got time to enjoy the family with their dramas, and you know, even though they had drama, they loved each other. So by the end, I was like, this sucks. I don't want to feel like
I will. I did laugh when the one character you thought might be dead and wasn't. That was kind of funny too. There were a couple funny bits. I don't know. I wasn't feeling this one. How about you, Kruger?
Well, I think the acting was really good on this. It was nice to see Annabelle Wallace, my boy Gabriel, back in, you know, something kind of horror. But I was expecting a horror movie, and you know, I probably shouldn't have going in. I think that hindered some of my enjoyment. The story, I mean, it did confuse the fuck out of me, but once I, you know, got an idea on what was going on, I was interested to see what happened, but the ending completely ruined anything that, you know, nice I had to say about it. And like, I don't think I'd ever watch this again just because it it didn't really give me anything other than just be depressing. And I other than, you know, maybe for a Christmas watch, if I want to depress the fuck out of my family, I'll put it on. But outside of that, I don't think I'll ever watch it again.
Real quick, did anyone get any like just shades or like slight mist, the mist vibes? Because I did.
Yeah, man, I guess maybe a little bit. It's safe to say, guys, don't go into this expecting a Christmas horror film, which I thought. Yeah. I thought this was going to do like some really crazy 180 at the end or something.
Would have been dope.
I probably should have warned you guys this was more drama than anything.
Oh, else. I'm fine with, like I said, seeking a friend for the end of the world.
No, but I'm saying so you weren't expecting some big twists.
Yeah. But
there's
some horror elements
in there. Like there's some, like you get, I don't want, without spoiling anything, the children are hurt.
Yeah.
Could have been cooler though.
I was that one though. Like,
this is playing in theaters if you want to go check it out, and it's also streaming on AMC Plus.
Oh, so. Cool. Yeah, it. I don't know. Keira Knightley was probably the least interesting character for me. I thought the doctor, I liked his character quite a bit. This is going to have mixed. This is just going to be a mixed movie for people. I wish I was feeling it more, but I really wasn't. And that ending was so stupid. It was just like, I don't know, maybe the ending was to try and justify it fitting in the
I don't think the ending's as stupid as you keep saying it is, but I'm glad you felt that way. I don't think it's as dumb. It's fine.
You're not alone. Brian Trash also liked it, didn't mind the ending.
Okay. Well,
it could have been better.
As always, guys, weigh in the comments. it made me laugh a few times. I mean, I'm not going to savage this one or anything, but it is a one-time watch.
Ben Grimm, Figgy Pudding is like their version of milk and bread in a panic.
Figgy Pudding is the shit.
Well,
do you guys, have you any of you guys like made plum pudding?
What's it called, Dan?
Plum pudding.
No, the other one.
I don't know. I'm not going to repeat it. Did I say it the wrong way? I don't.
What's the actual name of it, though? It was like caramel scotch. I don't know.
There's some like good
annoying now.
Old school like Christmas desserts that are pretty cool. All right, well let's go ahead and rate it. I'm a 2.5. This is a fine one-time watch. It's a discussion film. Like I could, and that's always a good thing. I can see you talking after it's over. But yeah, that's all I can say. It could have been much more. Pugs, what do you rate it?
I am a 4.5 out of 5. I really liked it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I'm with you, Dan. I'm a 2.5 out of 5 as well.
Cool. More child death for Kruger. And
I guess I'm splitting the difference. I'm a 3.5.
Cool. All right, yeah, it's going to be all over the place. It just didn't quite connect to me
I just love the family dynamic. That was cool. Ben Grimm hated the ending.
Shout out, Ben Grimm.
Yeah. All right, so that is Silent Night. Moving on to our next film, which is playing on Shudder right now. It's actually a 2015 film, and I don't know how we missed it, but I've never watched this. So
you know, the name isn't very Christmassy.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm thinking. It's just one of those ones overlooked.
And the poster art isn't either, so it's easy to scroll by.
Yeah.
Which we'll show in a moment.
Yeah, Body from 2015, and co-directors Dan Burke and Robert Olson. And in this one, we follow Holly, Callie, and Mel, who are three girls celebrating the Christmas holidays at Mel's house on Christmas Eve. And Callie convinces them to go out to her uncle's place for some partying. And it turns out that... Callie telling some lies. it's not a spoiler. It's in the description. It's that it's not actually her uncle's place, and bad things happen. So
Ben Grimm, it's like very bad things for Christmas, kind of.
Well, Dan's gonna argue with that one because that's a pretty
Here's that's the thing, though, that man.
Like, not exactly like. Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
Very Bad Things, though, is more of a dark comedy than this.
I think plot-wise is what this you're saying.
This was pretty funny.
Yeah. No, the basic plot, but different tone. I love Very Bad Things.
I knew Dan was going to.
Yeah, it's one of the best movies ever made.
Yeah, nobody saw it in theaters, but I championed that movie for years. I love Very Bad Things. But anyways, Bonnie.
Fucking Wizards.
Who wants to go first on Body?
I'll go first.
Go for it.
So it was nice to see Larry Fessenden in this because, you know, we see him in a bunch of shit and horror. And we also got to see a VHS alumni, Helen Rogers, who was in the first VHS. She's in the Alien segment.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see her in that, too. Unfortunately, though, I hated the characters so fucking much. They were annoying as all fucking hell. And I didn't really feel for anybody other than Larry Fessenden's character. But outside of him, everybody else I just thought was pretty unlikable and not anybody I could really get behind. Once shit hit the fan, I was really hoping for something stronger than what we got. Like, it has its moments, but as a whole, especially what we got in the ending. This is another one where I just really didn't like the ending whatsoever. And but it does take place on Christmas. So that was, you know, it was nice to cross another one on my list. But it's not something I don't think I'd ever watch again. But it's fine for a one-time watch.
Okay. Pugs?
Call me a fucking... I don't know what, but I like this one a lot too. I liked hanging out with these girls. They seem fun, as damaged as they are. I can see these bitches doing that.
I was to say best kind, but
yeah, shit gets out of hand. I don't know. I was rolling with it. I had a fucking very good time when shit got fucked up. I'm like, this is again, no spoilers. I would actually like the end. I liked the ending. I thought that was pretty cool. I thought it would be something like a lot, I don't want to say simpler, but nah, I'll just leave it. I like the ending a lot, and I would recommend this highly, especially to like younger female horror fans. Or yeah, I think this, you'll fucking have a good time with this. I'd like it a lot. Like a lot. So that's just me.
Well, I'm
or, damn.
Or Todd, you want to go? I'm sorry.
I'm with Pugs. I actually like this one a lot too. And I get what Kruger's saying about the girls not being likable, because
fucking annoying. But
yeah, but I still wanted to see how they're going to get away with it, what was going on. So I was still interested, and I did really like it.
Yeah.
I would also recommend this one.
You know, it's funny. I actually only thought one of them was unlikable, and that was Callie. Of course, she was supposed to be. That's not a slight against the actress or anything.
She was the I can't. She dude, Slater. I liked her a lot. You fucking dumb twats would have just listened.
Anyway. I felt bad for the other two. I mean, this is one of those movies, and I love just where, you know, you tell a small lie, bad things happen, and it just keeps snowballing, and you're making
very
it
bad things happen, man.
Yeah, worse and worse. And there's God, certain things in here like that weren't really played for laughs. I will just say, without spoiling the scene where she, Larry Fessenden's hand, which I thought that was kind of
yeah, that was my favorite scene in the movie.
Yeah, especially when the like just that one.
You guys were giving shit to the other guy in the car for that.
I know. Now it's okay. Well, these flip girls floppers can walk, sir.
Oh, okay.
But no, I actually, surprisingly, I feel bad I overlooked this one because I liked it a lot. I was thoroughly entertained.
You were going to hate it 100%, Dan. I
don't know why you thought that, Todd. I thought it was... I had a blast with this movie.
I normally don't like women in horror leads.
That's not true. Ever since Black Christmas 2019...
No, Dan, it was before that.
Dan doesn't like women. I do like women. And I thought this was really good. I didn't even think they were dislikable, except Callie. So I
like her too. I'm
surprised. I am.
She was hard to like. I have layers. Everybody in the chat knows I have layers. You think you know me.
And here's what's at the core.
What in the fucking fuck is that?
Fuck yeah.
Is that Dan and He-Man? That's your spirit animal.
One of the greatest animated shows on right now.
Oh, not the fucking new one. Oh, my God.
You don't watch the show.
I did.
It's Invincible. It. You did? Wait, Invincible?
No. Okay, we're talking about something different.
You are, yeah.
Masters of the Universe. But well, anyways.
That's your boy. That's Haley Joel.
I know who it is. I was
like, put a hat on him.
You know what? If I wouldn't have done that on the spur of the moment, I would have.
But anyways. Body. Yeah, this one was actually pretty suspenseful, too, because you're trying to figure out, well, how's it going to go? I might have done something, I don't know, maybe a little different with the ending, but I didn't dislike the way things kind of ended up. I did enjoy
it. I would have reversed it. That's just me.
I could see that, but I thought it was a satisfying ending. Sure. And this is another one. I feel like not a lot of people have seen it. It probably should have marketed itself more as a Christmas horror film. Because again, this one, surprisingly, this one's worth your time, guys. If you're going to check something out, I really, really liked this a lot. Now, again, maybe more, thriller. Some people might want a little more suspense from it, perhaps, but I think it's there because I was really like, I did like the girls, so I was nail biting here a little bit.
You're mute, Todd.
Oh,
Todd, muted.
You're probably talking shit. So you
no, I wasn't actually. I was just gonna say the only reason I even figured out it was a Christmas horror. It was in the Shudder Christmas Essentials list when I was scrolling through. I was like, huh. I read it, and I was like, this sounds like something we'd like.
Yeah, Larry Fessenden in it, too.
Well, this is the question for Dan.
Boobs. No.
No. Not in this movie, but we got some on one of them. No spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers, but there are boobs tonight that we'll probably talk about because we're perverts. But
whoa.
So there you go.
Different levels of perverts. Yeah.
It's a boobless movie, and I still like it. So fuck
I you. Know. This Dan's like all kind of surprises tonight.
All right, there you go. So anyway.
Oh my God.
Actual footage from watching Black Christmas 2019.
And if you want to hear us talk about Black Christmas 2019, you can suffer along with us as we watched it.
Yeah, you guys
don't have to watch along. You don't have to watch along. You could just listen to us tear it apart.
All right. Our one listener of the show, Mike, the Real Fifth Beatle, is going to be watching it for the first time for a commentary. I feel bad for poor Mike. But shout out, Real Fifth Beatle, if you haven't subbed to Mike, he's awesome. All right, let's go ahead and rate this one. Man, I really, really like it. I don't know if it's a full-on classic, but I'll probably watch this one again. I'm a 4.5. I liked it. I had a blast.
I don't know why you took that long to answer, but because it's 4.5 for me too. Almost a 5.
I am a 2.5 out of 5.
I am a 4. So
sweet. There you go. A nice little gem for you guys. All right. Moving on to our next film, which is not a Christmas horror film, but nonetheless, it's
and it'll just be me and Dan on this one, so.
But feel free to join in on the
discussion. Yeah, because there's gonna be discussion.
Yeah, I don't. All right. Yeah, so our theatrical film, not a horror film, it's not a horror film.
It's weird because they Bloody Disgusting listed in this week's upcoming horror films. And I was like, yeah, that's not. And this is after I saw it. I was like, okay.
Yeah, because I was starting to think, well, maybe this turns into kind of a werewolf type thing. But no, this is a drama.
Lamb horror?
It's a drama. It's a drama.
Is it like Swallow? Because Swallow is about because this is a disorder, isn't it?
Well, we'll get into it.
It's about a disorder?
Depending what you want to call it, I guess. Yeah, it's... Well, It's from writer director Natalie Biancheri, and the synopsis for this one is Jacob is a man who believes he is a wolf trapped in a human body and is sent to a clinic by his family where he's forced to undergo increasingly extreme forms of curative therapies at the hands of the zookeeper. Jacob's only solace is the enigmatic wildcat with whom he roams the hospital in the dead of night. The two form an improbable friendship that develops into infatuation. Okay, did I miss a botch there?
No,
oh, I heard a pop. Never mind. So
he made his own botch that he missed.
I think he popped talking about that interspecies erotica.
Right? Well, so interesting. Like you say, is it a disorder? Well, I guess that's a question that's kind of posed in this film. So the term for it, like, I've referenced this on the show before, but if people aren't or unaware, I was going to do a documentary on, specifically, I guess, the BDSM community in like small towns, like weird fetishes. And I never got to it, but I did get a tip from a guy I was kind of working with on it, about somebody that lived in, I'm not going to be super specific because I feel like that, hey, he was actually on some different things.
But, we don't have to say the name of the city. Yeah.
Gloss over that.
But, yeah.
City near me.
Somebody that did believe that they were a cheetah, or maybe it was puma, something like that, but lived that way, like with the person's family, like actually lived that way. And it's, I think the correct term is, species dysphoria. If I'm using anything wrong, I apologize. I'm not trying to do
it. I have a question, Dan. You said that person lived that way. Now, did they also have a 9-to-5 and they just did it once they got home? Like those people that wear grown up diapers that don't need to?
No.
So he just did it. Whoever that is just did at home, leeching off either government money or family money.
Lived with family. Yeah. I won't delve too much more, but yeah, lived as a. Maybe it was Puma. I never actually got to the point because I had to prepare myself because, I was told, that you won't really have much of an interview with the person.
He's purring and fucking grooming himself.
I have a question. Did he have like an enclosure with like branches and shit he jumped off of and like?
I know they had property. Again, I didn't get that far because that doc for many reasons just fell apart, and I really wish I could have made it because there were a lot of interesting people that unfortunately
kind of ended up like Joe Exotic,
kind of like said they were going to be interviewed. Well, we'll have to make it, but it's hard to get some people in those communities to open up on camera because like there was.
Is that like why you went deep undercover in FetLife?
I did. I talked to some very interesting people. The other main issue with that.
Dan in a gimp suit now with just the hat.
Well, I did meet some people. There was the one that, it's been so long now I've forgotten to, but like to be like rolled up in things like a carpet, whatever, and be like beaten basically. And so some of it was.
Ben gets it.
But anyways, it was explained to me like, you're not going to have much of an interview. They encourage it. Like they encourage his choice to live like that. And, so it's very confusing. Like when you watch this movie, just to segue into the movie a little bit more, I almost found myself like at the end of it, like, well, what do you do? Because the main character thinks he's a wolf, which wolves attack people. I'm like, I don't know that the villains are completely villainous. They do bad things. The zookeeper does.
He's not the zookeeper, first off.
That's what they call him, the zookeeper.
I know. But he'd be the, of course, Dan's on his side. Never mind.
I don't know how I feel about this one. Like, what do you do? Because you can't really allow
Yeah, but you also can't do what he did.
No, of course not. Obviously.
There's a lot to do with mental health in this too. And
yes. It's interesting. I don't.
Oh yeah. First and foremost, this is 100% an art house drama. No horror. Yeah. Art house drama is the best way to describe it.
I do want to compliment the actors who are amazing. Because this couldn't have been an easy thing to do. Like,
I hope Lily Rose's dad didn't watch this one. He might be a little disappointed.
Lily Rose's dad does aforementioned boobs. Yes, it would be an awkward one.
Oh, now Pugs is getting his ticket ready.
Pugs is on the AMC app as we speak.
There was a part I was getting upset. The wolf wasn't turning into a dog at some point.
I thought there was going to be some mounting, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for, some doggy stuff. It was set up. She was waiting for it. Oh, sorry. Spoiler.
There is some humor. It's a hard one to describe, really. Yes, I mean, it is also grounded because, look, you may watch this movie and think, oh my God, this is ridiculous, but like it is a thing. Now, I want to separate, furries are not the same. No. It's a very different, a furry, again, if I'm talking out my ass, guys, please correct me in the comments because I'm no expert. Human boobs, depending how you look at it.
Well, and then technically, wouldn't they be kitty cat boobs?
Cat boobs.
They're teats, man. Hold up, dude. Ben Grimm, there was this farm document doc about the Mr. Hands guy and a community of people who moved to Washington because bestiality was not illegal there. Dan, you want to explain that?
That is a fucked up doc, but very different from this. Again,
now I don't want to.
Is that why you stopped the documentary? Because they already beat you to it.
It's that doc is fucked up.
Is that a different one from the zoo one about the dude that got died from horse sex?
That's tied into it. Isn't
that Mr. Hands? That's the horse guy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I've seen this. Yeah. It's called Zoo. I thought.
I haven't seen it.
Maybe Zoo is the title, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. But I mean, this one, it's hard to say. And again, I want to separate for that's like more like you don't literally believe you're a wolf. It's a little different and it is confusing. I remember reading up on other kins back then, which are, they believe they're reincarnated from an animal. I believe so. There's like a whole culture here that I don't completely understand, but in this one, it's tough. I mean, there are some moments that are pretty heartbreaking. I wanted to see more from his parents, because, like, I mean, how do you deal with that? I mean, the couple scenes that they're in, I was like, man, that just has to be crushing, because what the hell do you do? You're not going to be able to get very far living as a wolf out in the woods. I mean, you know, what are you going to do for the poor guy? Patty Constantine is the zookeeper villain, I guess. He has some great scenes. There's a scene where was it the squirrel guy? No, not the squirrel guy. The guy that thinks he's a German shepherd pisses in the lobby, and then he like waits for his, I think, sister or mom to leave. And then just shoves his face in it. So there are some moments.
There is humor.
There are some moments that are, and there's even some gore too. We get more fingernail.
Fuck that.
Yeah, like, where he's like, all right, you're a squirrel, climb the tree.
I was like, no.
That was too much. Yeah, and they zeroed in on it too.
I like the cringe. You're selling me on this.
you will want to see it for sure. I don't know that it's great because it, by the end of it, I'm not quite sure I kind of get the message. It ends exactly as you would expect it. That's why this is a movie that is not one that you can really even spoil. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Todd, where are you at on this one? Like, what would you do for these people? Like, I thought it was interesting. I don't know if the movie is interesting as the conversation it sparks, but what do you do here? Like, I mean, does medication make them feel that they're not a wolf or a squirrel?
How do you know they're really not, though?
Touche. I don't know.
It's all right. I get an exclusive clip after we rate this.
Not of Mr. Hands, I hope.
No.
Fuck, don't even bother showing it then.
It's to demonstrate this disorder.
Oh, okay. It's an interesting movie. I thought Lily Rose Depp was actually really good in this.
It kind of made me forget about that one movie. The shitty Kevin Smith movie.
What is your take on the relationship with her and the, I guess you would call her nurse, therapist, whatever you want to call her? I thought that was a little strange. I was like, I'm not quite sure what's going on here. You know, why she's allowed to just sort of stay in this facility, what that relationship was. Yeah, they don't delve into it very much.
Yeah, I was a little surprised too.
Yeah, I that was one thing I was kind of like, I kind of want to see a little bit more of what's going on with her. I don't know. It's going to split people again.
I think for genre people, they're not going to like this. Like if they're just like, I don't think Kruger would like it. I think pugs, because I think pugs well. But it's like one of those things. If you're like only like, this is an art house film. Like there's no other way to put it. So if you don't like art house films, and I don't mean art house in an A24, I'm kind of hip way. I mean like an art house film, like straight up.
Ben Grimm, Lily Rose Depp, also in Silent Night as the pregnant girl. Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's where I am.
Yeah, she's got more potential than I think Kevin Smith's daughter, who he needs to just stop. I don't think she's a movie star.
She's all right.
It's fine.
I like Yoga Hosers. It's Scooby-Doo.
Now I have to rewatch it.
Oh, you just sold Todd.
Yeah, you did. Annabelle Comes Home. I'm like the only person.
Yeah, that one I can't get with you, Todd. But that's cool.
Scooby-Doo.
You know, there is also, I know there's a couple, and I haven't really, nobody's, it seems, has seen this that I can talk about it with. But I know there's some anger, too, because some people sort of view this movie as like they're making a sort of like comparison to like gay conversion therapy.
When you explained it, that's what I heard. I was like, you're going to pray the gay away? That's
And why are they upset about it being similar?
Well, I can't remember the name, but it's I could tell like it was annoying them. I believe they're gay reviewers and felt like that this
at
was
the theater?
No. It's just a YouTube channel.
Yeah, remember Jason told us.
I could tell they sort of felt like, okay, this is what this is going for, and it's a little offensive. They didn't rant about it too much, but I could kind of tell. I don't know. So this movie could have some controversy. I'd like to talk about it.
So are they mad that's their thing? I mean, I don't
get it. No. Trying to say that it's the same.
Like, well, yeah, but one of them is something that you can probably change, and the other's not.
Change. I haven't seen the movie, but I don't think you can change it. If it's that far deep in there, it's part of your DNA.
That's their argument, then it's a wash.
Yeah. this one is just sort of tough. I mean, again, there's no I don't want to dive too deep into it, but obviously conversion therapy is horrible. But is this a different case? Because you can't let
this is just
somebody
horrible.
Live as a wolf. But see, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I get where
if he's not hurting anybody,
he does hurt people. He does hurt people.
Well, then that's the
why. But why?
Well, again,
let's get into this. Put the spoiler shit up. Now I want to know.
This is something that I feel like we could. Yeah, we can have a big debate. But you know, I mean, that Jesus Camp movie. I think that's what it was called. Like that shows how horrible these places.
Well,
are.
No, I'm thinking of the movie with. That one kid that was
Boy Erased.
Yes, yeah, that with
Russell Crowe. Yeah. I don't think shows how horrible those camps are. The documentary like people have killed themselves that have like gone to those camps. They're just they're horrific.
Understandably, that's fucking anyway. Yeah,
but
that's
like, oh no, something not. Like this is very different, and I don't know what you do. Like I don't know. It's
a movie that made me first. Did he hurt people first, and that's why he went to the place, or did it happen after?
Did they reference him actually hurting anybody?
No, we're just more worried about him. I mean, like, if Dan started acting like a tarantula, we'd all be kind of worried.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if the squirrel guy tries to climb a building, okay, that's a problem.
Yeah, but he's not going to make it.
Well, or he finds some way to make it work for the...
Hey, I'm a flying squirrel. He's going to talk.
Then you get your gore. Yeah, I don't know. This is just what I'm even like talking it out to see where I finally fall with it. I guess you guys are going to have to pretty much watch it now and give your take on it. But yeah, I don't know. I felt bad for the people, but I'm not quite sure what you do.
Yeah.
And I think it's a pretty rare thing. In fact, I think this movie takes place in Ireland, and I couldn't even imagine there would be that many. But again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's
that
more.
Many Catholic people tolerating that bullshit. No, I don't think so either.
I really thought this doc was going to be made on it because the way it was described to me, I was like, shit, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, I knew what furries were at that point, but that again, that's a very different, safe, harmless culture that you know is very different from what we talk about in this movie.
There's a video of them saving a girl from getting a hard R, and they're all dressed up as furries and they look like superheroes beating the shit out of that guy. It's hilarious.
Well,
holy shit, I'm gonna have to watch that.
You'll have to link me that.
You got it. I know Kruger's seen it. I think we've talked about that before. Yeah, that's just hilarious.
So, oh wow, furries breaking.
It was outside of a furry convention, I believe. And like you see them like run and tackle, and the guy's got a tail in his wagon. It's pretty funny.
So was the guy that they attacked a furry also?
No, he was I think he was like a not. I don't know if he was a furry or not, but he wasn't in his gear.
Can you imagine the cops rolling up on that? And you've got like just some squirrel like curb stomping a pervert with like.
It's a good day at the office.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So nothing but love to the furry community.
And the gay community.
Well, of course. Yes. Go back and watch that. Is it called Jesus Camp? Because that was just. Brutal.
Were they? I like that movie a lot, but that movie's fucked up and like.
Yeah, it is. It's horrible what they do. It's just fucked up. And those things still operate.
Yep.
That's what's really fucked up about it. These conversion camps. They still exist, so it's like they're not.
Well, they make a lot of money, so.
But anyways,
the rich white people want to pray that gay away. Still, it's fucking crazy.
That's but anyways, seriously, and I say this with a lot of our movies. If you do see Wolf, I'd love to get your take on it because I don't even as I sit here, I'm not sure exactly what I'm gonna rate it, but.
Are you going to?
Yeah. I'm going to rate it now.
You want me to go first?
Go for it.
I'm a 4. I really liked it. But it's not like one to rewatch over and over, but I did really like it and what it was about.
Was it worth the trip to the theater? Well, you gave it a 4, so I'm sure it is. Oh, but look, for most people, would I go to the theater for it?
Oh, it's not for... Okay. I think you will definitely want to see it. It is not for the average moviegoer, but I mean, look at the premise and no shit, it's not. So, you know.
I think Pugs's question is,
would I enjoy it at home? Yeah. Would I enjoy it more at home or would it actually worth the trip going to the theater?
It's more if you want to see it sooner because I don't think you have an actual benefit from seeing it on the big screen. And honestly, you'd probably be the only one in the theater, too.
Yeah.
I think I had one other person in mind.
Probably wait, but I am interested. Dan, what did you rate it? Or what are you going to rate?
We've talked about it so much. I'm a 3.5. I can't really go that much higher. The ending for me was like, okay, this plays out exactly as I expected this movie to play
out. I'm surprised Dan didn't give the extra point the same way.
We've talked more about it tonight than any other movie. And for me, that's a good thing because...
I was talking about the boobs, but...
Oh, yeah, the titties didn't hurt. But no mounting. No mounting, so don't expect that.
So, do they look like people or are they... Like...
No, they're...
At one point, it's actually... Cats. Like, there's a parrot girl... And like it, there's actually kind of like a riot at one point. Again, you can't really spoil this movie. I'm not getting.
She at least have a big nose.
Yeah, I had the parrot beak, the beak and the feathers. And at one point, I think she tells the zookeepers, like, fuck off. And she's, like, just sitting there doing that in his face. And it's funny when you watch.
One flew over the cuckoo's nest. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
And Lady Johnny Depp puts on a little sexy cat whisker.
She just draws them on. Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. But not a comedy. I mean, for the most part, this is a drama.
It is. I laughed a few inappropriate times. But
you want to bring up Brian Trash's comment? If you were a furry, what animal would you be? I would be a sloth, a stone sloth. I know Todd would be a hard R sloth. Those memes are hilarious. I'm going to join that too, or a platypus.
You know, and you're wrong though. If you learned anything about the one aquatic feature I want to do, that is the more hard R creature. Oh, that's the dolphin.
They do it for fun, so yeah,
and they do it to humans, so
yeah, dude, they are.
I feel like most of like the furries that I've known of, it's always like a dog or something like familiar.
Should we go to our exclusive clip?
Yeah, go ahead.
I guess
Ben Grimm, hold on. I'd be an anteater. They have long ass tongues. I thought he was going to just admit to the non-snip.
pleasing the ladies, Ben. That's very nice.
Pull it back and clean it, dude.
Lord, here we go.
Clip.
I'm working on it now.
Okay. Hygiene is very important.
All right.
Play it.
Since we evolved from... Yeah. Oh.
This is my baby. This is my baby. This is my baby, Frida.
Frida is so annoying.
I'm tired of being a wild animal. I'm sick of being a wild animal.
I mean, I can let this go on,
I'm
but...
hunt for my prey.
It's like 2 minutes.
I'm
that not weed?
Eating bloody carcasses.
So was this like your
through
what
the
was it, a panther
with
dude?
All the poisonous snakes?
No. This one?
I want to be a domestic
Lily Rose was a cat.
That's why I came here.
The other one was I'm asking about Jan.
Oh, yeah. The
no.
No.
No. My understanding was didn't talk. Communicate. I don't know what communicated, but means exactly. But did not talk. Was not verbal and lived literally as a. Yeah.
Big crack rock. I like to see somebody try to fuck a Wolverine.
Oh my god.
That's illegal, sir. But right on. Where is that wolf clip from that class, Ben Grimm?
I think that's a reference. Hayden played that many a times, and yeah, we won't do it here. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like it's interesting. I still feel like you could make a better movie about the subject. I would have been a lot higher if they had more with the parents. Like I wanted to see a little bit more of, like number one at their home. I would have loved a flashback, like dealing with him, like. Acting like a wolf during, you know, Christmas dinner or something. Like, maybe I want that movie. Somebody needs to make that movie. Like, just somebody
wolf too
trying to like live in the real world sort of deal. Because, yeah, I mean, the people in this movie were really like, yeah, no, I am a squirrel and I am going to live as a squirrel. Sort of
sounds thing. Sounds like 2021 to me.
Yeah. So. There you go, guys. You want a conversation piece? Jeez. Check out Wolf. Yeah. Well, on that note, do we have anything to close with here? Do we want to watch more clips of whatever that was?
That's the cheetah lady. Come on.
Dan, that's your neighbor.
That's Dan's ex-girlfriend. Come on.
Cheetahs don't talk, though. Like, that would be my thing there.
Yeah, but
Ryan... Stupid bitch, you're not doing it right.
Well, I'm glad I didn't play the one where she's drinking wine, then. Dan would have had a fit.
I feel like that's a gimmick, though. I don't think she's legit. Yeah, no. I think that's comedy.
Piz is asking, is this a remake of Jack Nicholson Wolf?
No. No, definitely not.
And not the first person to ask that, though.
Would Jack Nicholson make this role? Would he improve on this role?
Jack
when Nicholson, his brain was working.
Jack Nicholson definitely would have mounted her. I feel like that is
Jack's
one
the man.
Thing. Yeah, that is one thing. I'd love to see Jack Nicholson like playing the squirrel guy, though. Just because I'd want to see him like trying to climb a tree. I feel like that would be really funny. And maybe killing Patty Constantine. But
kind yeah. of a cunt, aren't you?
What can I say? Everybody's got to review this now. I will watch every review on this movie because I'm curious. But yeah, a few things to make it a little stronger, but it was interesting. All right. That's all I've got. Guys, we do have the 12 Days of Slashmas starting up soon. You can watch early episodes now. The third one will be dropping on Patreon.
It's up right now.
Oh, there you go. So it all starts at just $1, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. And I don't know, maybe we'll do another furry show. Or
another?
We'll do a furry show on there.
Only somewhere. If we all dress up.
Those costumes are expensive. I remember that MTV True Life episode. Like, some of them paid like big money.
Well, Dan, you're going to have to make yours out of paper mache.
Well, then I'm not. That doesn't work. You can't show up at the convention in a paper mache furry costume. How are you supposed to smash in paper mache?
Dan, we're not talking about going to the convention. We're talking about doing it here.
No, we're going to do it live from the convention. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it big.
Dan, you could just go to the convention. You don't got to make it. We'll do it live for the convention, but it's just you wanting to go.
I'm going to get real furries on the show. We've had nudists, and granted, that didn't work out very well. First time balls were on the show. But yeah, we're gonna have the redemption show. We're gonna get furries on the show. So, anyways,
fantastic, cool. Let's get the fuck out of here, Dan.
Yes. Good night and God bless the furry community. Oh, and there you go, fleshwoundfeatures.com. Get your Christmas cruelty merchandise. You need that for Christmas. Ride the fire truck. We've got the Christmas cruelty. Commentary with the director coming to Patreon as well.
Exclusive.
There you go. So yeah,
this Sunday at noon, 3 p.m. I believe. We'll post to our Patreon so they can join live.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right, Todd, say goodnight.
Good evening. Wait, no, you did it wrong, Pugs. Start over.
Oh well, Dan, do the Slashmas stuff. Say goodnight.
Good night. We should say good night in our furry.
Happy
Hanukkah.
Feliz Navidad.
But you gotta
Merry
do this
Christmas,
as a
motherfuckers.
Squirrel.
Stop interrupting me.
Do it as a squirrel, though. Do it as a
here,
squirrel.
Here. There you go. He's muted. Now keep going.
Happy Kwanzaa. I'll see you in Disneyland.
See, now I don't even have the outro gimmick ready.
There we go.